1510 WUFC. Welcome to the New England Revolution post-match report. The Revs and the Timbers tie this one by a final count of 1-1 this evening here in Gillette Stadium's Foxborough. New England now 8-12-3 on the year. The Timbers now 7-7-10. And New England 27 points, Portland 31 points. I'm Tom Quinlan. We'll be joined by Brad Feldman a little bit. We're waiting for Jay Heaps to get to the press conference table to get his post-game reaction thoughts. We'll have highlights courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet this evening. And we're taking your calls at 617-237-1234, 617-237-1234. All right, well, you had the bye week last week for New England, and you had a team that you would have thought would have been more rested coming into tonight. I mean, let's be honest here, folks. Coming out of the World Cup, this team has been limping. They've been dragging. They've lost 9 out of the last 10, and now you at least have a little relief here tonight where you're able to pick up a point and survive another day in this playoff race here this evening. Kev Coleman, Cam Barley with me as well. We'll get their thoughts when we go around the league in MLS this evening and try to recap the weekend that was. We'll also talk a little Premier League tonight. So we have a bunch of stuff on the table. And once again, we're taking your calls at 617-237-1234. All right, Charlie Davies gets a start up top tonight. And I think that's, you know, where I'd like to start this evening. First off, how about it, man? This guy is hot lately. He's playing really well. I think you have to be impressed with the quality that you've gotten out of a guy like Charlie Davies recently. And it's a credit to him just being resilient and working his way back into the full-time 11, which I think for the remainder of the season, it looks like Charlie Davies is your starting striker. So get that thought into your heads quickly here. Charlie Davies is probably going to be your lone striker up top for the rest of the season. I don't like him playing up top alone. I really do question a lot of Jay's management skills when it comes to where he's positioning his forwards. Right now, I don't know if I want Charlie Davies playing up top alone. He's good in the sense that he's creating space for guys. I think you're seeing a New England team that was as dangerous in points and games as they were earlier in the season when they were winning 5 straight in a row, and that counterattack offense, which led to that Charlie Davies goal tonight, it shines through every now and then, sure. But can it happen for 90 minutes? Not with this roster. Not with this 18. And this is where the signings are supposed to be huge for this team. This is where we're supposed to be seeing a little bit of progress here. And I don't think we're seeing any signings anytime soon. The only thing that we got close to really a signing would be if Jermaine Jones comes here. I don't think you're going to see anything up top with this New England team. And we'll talk about signings tonight even more when we get Brad Feldman on here this evening. We're waiting, again, just for Jay Heaps to get to the press conference table. Liam Ridgewell's goal, I mean, that one thing was coming. And for Portland, the defense was able to just sit back and wait. They pushed upfield. They were not playing New England afraid. The Revs were just being them pesky selves. They're able to use their speed to their advantage down the wings with Teal Bunbury, Diego Fagundes, tire out teams a little bit. But eventually, it slows down New England's game as a whole because eventually you get to a point, and you saw this a lot tonight, where this team just plays a lot of long balls for no reason. Unnecessary long balls really slows down the tempo of this offense, and it allows a team like Portland, who's trailing by one, to work themselves back into a game. And they did that tonight. And you saw Portland, when they were able to create space, get a little bit of separation, and start pressing the issue with Bobby Shuttleworth. And then they were able to tie it up. You know, we talked to a couple of fans a couple of weeks ago on this post-game show that this team plays better when Bobby's not tested. Bobby had to make a few couple of saves tonight where they were pretty, yeah. They look good on the stat sheet. They look good on the highlight reel, too. But at the same time, Bobby Shuttleworth still is not making the big save. You needed him tonight to slot in there and stop that Liam Ridgewell goal. Now, and granted, I'm not putting that entire Liam Ridgewell goal on Bobby, but here's my thought on it. Where was the space in the communication? The way that Bobby lit into his defenders after that goal was scored, astonishing. I mean, that's sort of the way of Bobby's character lately, if you will. Because the guy is just so critical of his defense, and he's just not afraid to lash out on him. And you won, and it's, again, another game where New England just allows so much space, Cam, for teams to operate. And it drives you mad.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby played outstanding today. I wouldn't lie. I'm always on Bobby very hard, but today he came up with big saves. And honestly, without a few of those saves, it probably would have been 2-1, 3-1. So the Liam Ridgewell goal is just like, who's stepping? Who's stepping to Liam Ridgewell as he's just bolting down? He picked up that ball near halfway.
Right.
And it was just way too easy. Just no one stepped up.
I mean, you're dribbling right through the box.
Mm-hmm.
Dribbling and right through the box.
Granted, Caldwell does well to like win it and advance it up the field. And then I think it's Farrell who gives a kind of a bad ball to Davies, who's running away from it. Ridgewell steps in front, and that's that. He takes it all himself, and it was just pissed. It was very poor.
So the Revs now moving forward don't play until next week when they'll take on Chivas USA, and you know, we'll see what happens. We're still waiting on Jay Heaps to get to the press conference table. Kevin, we have any? You still waiting there?
Yeah, we're still waiting here. Nothing yet from Jay.
Okay, nothing to wait from Jay. Let's go. Let's take a quick call then. Amir is in Woburn. Amir, what's up?
Hi. I was at this game, and you know, I'm thinking we're going to win 4-1. We're going to destroy this team. We're going to disappoint the Timbers fans that came in, and then we tie, and it looked like the whole team wasn't trying in the end. And then walking away, I see news that Jermaine Jones might be landed in Chicago. So I'm just completely flustered right now.
Amir, this is the first time I'm hearing anything about Jermaine Jones landing in Chicago. We'll do a little bit, Cam. You want to get on that? Do a little bit more insight on what's going on with Jermaine Jones. But, yes, you have every right to be upset tonight, Amir, because you're up 1-0 in this game. You have a little bit of momentum moving down the field. You thought that Charlie Davies' goal would have been enough to get you past Portland tonight, especially seeing that they have a quick turnaround and have a Champions League game Wednesday, and they want to be able to preserve players for that, and still Portland finds a way to take 2 points here tonight. Incredibly important for the Timbers in terms of where they stand in the playoff race, and detrimental to where New England wants to go for the rest of the year. What do you got elsewise, Amir?
Yeah, and also, I was wondering, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think we're going to make any big signings, or do you think it's too late?
Thanks, Amir. Appreciate the call. I think if you don't make a signing here with Jermaine Jones, you're done. You're done. Nothing's coming up top. It's clear that the Sire Sen move, to me, the Sire Sen move for Andre Akpan was just to get a little bit of... Get a little bit of salary off the books, if you will, because you want to clear up an open space for Jermaine Jones if you make the signing for him. But I mean, that's the only thing I see the Revs doing here at this point. It's really unfortunate because you'd like to see them contend for the rest of the year and have a little bit of reason to come out to Gillette. It's going to be hard to get fans to come out here next week to get to Chivas USA, and there's a lot of home games left to end the year here, but if you're putting out results like this, who's going to want to come out to Gillette? Who's going to want to come out and see a 1-1 tie? Any reason why a lot of these MLS teams, too, are so much above New England? A lot of it, there's a lot more worldly experience on the field that the Revs are just lacking right now. Go back last week and think about where a lot of the best players for New York came. A lot of these best players from New York are coming from the Barclays Premier League, some playing in Australia.
All
around the world. Top flight leagues, Cam. So
and you look
New England's
at
a bunch of college kids. You're playing with an NCAA roster, essentially, and that's not a shot at any of these guys.
Homegrown kids, too. A lot of you see Charlie Davies from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Grew up in Lawrence, was born in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Went to Brooks, a school right next to me, North Andover. And Chris Tierney from Wellesley. Granted, I love seeing the homegrown talent succeed, but in
comes
today's MLS, it's not going
to
work. And Chicago Fire, I tried looking for the Jermaine Jones information. I was not able to find anything, but right. I would not be surprised if Jones is actually in Chicago now after they signed Robert Earnshaw, a very qualified striker at 33 years old. Granted, he's a little older, but that's the kind of talent we're talking about. People who have done it in another league, people who are experienced and that can come here and teach also our homegrown players how to play because they've learned. But and are we still waiting on Heaps here? He's probably very upset about that tie then.
Yeah.
It should have been a win.
Still waiting on Heaps. Nothing yet.
617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. We're still taking your calls right here. Just a little quick insight right there. I just want to see if we could hear anything, and still nothing coming from Jay. And, you know, right now the Revs sit tied for sixth place. I mean, Philadelphia losing the other night was immense to this team progressing in the playoff race. And, you know, we'll see what happens. Let's, you know, welcome in our guest right now. He is the play-by-play announcer for your New England Revolution. And he was sitting in the gantry tonight, had him back here in Foxborough's Gillette Stadium. Brad Feldman. What's up, Brad?
How are you, Tom?
Not bad. Not bad. So, tough one tonight for the tie.
Yeah, I think it was disappointing. You know, they were so good in the first half. And then, you know, it was not as stark a contrast as the second half against New York. But they just seemed to come unglued a little bit. And they picked it up in the late stages. I thought Daigo Kobayashi coming on was a great addition. But in the end, it's... you know, it's a tie that feels like a loss. 1 point at home. We talk about these being must wins for the Revs if they're going to get into the hunt for the playoff spot down the stretch. These home games have to be 3 points. Portland, you got to give them credit too. They played well in the second half, and they also really went for it. If you think about the three subs that Caleb Porter made, right? Nagbe, Urudi, and Zach Wani. Like, those are all attacking players. This is not a guy who came in, oh, we got to 1-1, let's, you know, set out our stall, you know, just sort of like absorb pressure and fly it down to Guyana with a point in our pocket. They wanted to win the game. Now, both of these teams are right on the edge of the playoff picture coming into the weekend. I thought it was, you know, from a neutral perspective, very open attacking game, chances at both ends. But from the Revolution perspective, we just did our post-game hit for TV, and Paul and I, the theme, that we hit on was just a difference in the sort of the precision, you know, like you look at that pass that Kobayashi made for Mullins. It was Mullins' first touch coming on the field. But he's got to take that cleanly. He's under a little bit of pressure. He sees it the last split second. But with a ball that's as exquisitely weighted and placed as that, to put you in on the keeper, you know, even if you don't take the positive touch to create the shot, you got to at least find a way to control, keep the attack going. And that's what the Revs didn't have. They, you know, we put together a little package of great opportunities that just, you know, the final pass wasn't there, where in the first half it very often was.
Brad Feldman, play-by-play announcer for your Revs, joining us on the post-game show now. And Brad, you mentioned it before about how Portland really went for it tonight. The sense of urgency on both sides of the benches, it's stark contrast, if you will, of guys that it seemed like they want it right now and guys that are just, you know, trying just to log minutes.
I'm not going to go that far, honestly, Tom. Like, I think to say guys just logging minutes, I think that, you know, somebody like Patrick Mullins comes on, and he's clearly trying to do well. It just wasn't falling for him. I thought Charlie Davies put in a terrific performance tonight. I thought Scott Caldwell was very good.
Yeah.
Hard to remember what Kellen Rowe did that actually came off in a positive way, but it wasn't for lack of effort. But I think there was definitely more of a sense of urgency out of Portland from the start of the second half until they scored the equalizing goal. And then the Revs ramped it up again, but they weren't able to break through again. I thought Kobayashi was very good. Lee Wynn had an off night, just like he did in the second half against New York. And you just wonder, you know, he got crushed just before halftime against the Red Bulls. If that sort of left him, you know, he seemed to be a different player before and after that collision. But I'm not going to – I'm like, you're entitled to your opinion. I don't think anybody's trying to – just log minutes. The Revs didn't get completely outplayed tonight, but they did for a good 25 minutes at the beginning of the second half.
And at an important time, too. And you mentioned injuries just now. Lee Wynn, I mean, obviously we don't know anything official. I mean, he was out there playing tonight. It was good enough to make a run of it. But if you start heading down this road here, you had Kevin Austin go out. We heard in the press box that it was a hamstring injury to Kevin. If you start keep going down this road here where you're depleted at positions, it's going to be virtually impossible to compete for a playoff spot down the stretch.
Well, I think there's... You know, it depends. Like, I don't think I don't know that Lee Wynn is injured long term.
Right.
Alston, I know it's hard to say, right? He's always a hamstring injury waiting to happen. As fast as he is, and with his not getting regular games, you know, I know that Darius Barnes was so consistent for much of the season when he came in as a replacement, then sort of tailed off and had a couple of really, you know, tough nights, right? But he looked pretty good tonight. He didn't, you know, make terrible mistakes tonight. It was the other side of the defense that looked awful. You know, especially Farrell just sort of got olayed by Ridgewell on the goal. Uncharacteristically so. I just think everybody's so surprised that the big square head English center half was doing his best Maradona impression there. That nobody really came in. Yeah, and to be fair, Caldwell wasn't able to take it off him either. But somebody's got to come over and help. I think that injuries, you know, certainly the Dorman injury has impacted the Revs a little bit. Mm. I think that Tierney, I don't know why people don't like Chris Tierney at left back. I don't know why people say, oh, he's slow. He's actually not slow. If he ran a team sprint, he'd be in the top three. He serves in as good a final ball as any left back in the league, not just on the Revs squad. So I think that, you know, you can say injury fitness is not... You know, like, that's not the main thing that the Revs have working against them. I think they need to add even one more piece. You know, I don't know whether it's, you know, the number six. You know, if they could get Jermaine Jones, it'd be awesome. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. Or if not, another forward. Charlie Davis is doing a very good impression of a, you know, classic
looks
number
great.
One.
Looks great.
Yeah, but he's able to do it for 60 minutes. And, you know, Mullins has, for me, fallen off a lot.
Could he have played 90 tonight, Charlie?
I have no idea.
Do you think that he's able to, like, the fitness that you see from him in three games, does he present a guy that's getting to a point where he should be able to play 90
minutes? I think he's getting closer. I think Jay wanted to add something different with Mullins. I think they believe in Mullins, their draft pick, especially because of the way he was playing back in May. I think Charlie Davies gets more minutes each time out. But, you know, they measure these things very closely. You know, in training, they know what your heart rate is, what your body temperature is, how many steps you've taken. And then they, you know, collate that information and crunch it so they know that they have these guys on, you know, whether it's number of meters run or the minutes they're going to play. Would I have liked to see Charlie Davies stay out there? Yeah. Can you imagine Kobayashi, the way he was playing for the first 15 minutes, he came on the field. If Charlie had been out there at the same time, that might have been a good thing.
We have Brad Feldman here today. Brad, always great as usual. And hopefully next week, a different result for the Revs as they take on Chivas USA back here in Gillette Stadium. You're listening to AM 1510 WUFC. We take your calls next at 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Thanks again, Brad.
Thanks for having me in. Anytime.
All right, back after this.
The radio is back on 1510 WUFC. 1510 WUFC Boston. Personality Radio is back on 1510 WUFC. 1510 WUFC Boston.
Are you looking for an authentic Italian meal in an intimate setting? Then you'll want to dine at Terra Mia's. This North End Italian restaurant provides a simply divine culinary experience and, as quoted in Zagat's restaurant guide, pastas without compare. And it's reasonably priced. This North End gem will keep you coming back. Terra Mia is simply the best Italian restaurant in all of Boston. Call 617-523-3112, 617-523-3112, or terramiarestaurante.com.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want a warm fleece on a cool day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
JP3 Graphics in Weymouth can help you out with all your custom graphic needs, specializing in custom vinyl stickers, motocross graphics, truck lettering, vehicle wraps, landscaping signs, and more. When you need something designed and printed, JP3 Graphics can do it for you, giving you the professional look you need without the high cost. Call JP3 Graphics today. Mention this ad and the setup is free. 781-812-0846.
Stand by for a free offer.
I want to tell you about the Fountain of Youth by Pure Attitude. It's a non-toxic, all-natural, power-packed, anti-aging, waterless formula serum with 100% active ingredients. It creates dramatic results, firmer skin, and less visible wrinkles. It's like Botox in a bottle. The Fountain of Youth was developed by award-winning chemist and health and beauty expert to the stars, David Pollack. When recently featured on the Today Show, all they could say was, "I love it!" This incredible product increases skin oxygenation, boosts collagen, increases hydration and cell renewal, and results in a tighter, firmer appearance to your face with less visible wrinkles. And now, we want to let you try it for free. Go to freefountainofyouth.com and you'll receive a free 14-day trial of the Fountain of Youth. Just pay a small shipping and handling fee. It makes a great gift because it's beautifully packaged and you'll love the new you. After using dermatologist approved and recommended, the Fountain of Youth. Go to freefountainofyouth.com.
The South Shore's historic Italian restaurant, The Venetian in Weymouth, has been proudly serving families for close to 100 years. Family-owned and operated using grandma's recipes for that authentic Italian touch, Venetian serves lunch and dinner, specials daily, and breakfast on the weekends. Join them Wednesdays and Thursdays for live music. Planning a party? Let The Venetian do catering for you. The Venetian, 909 Broad Street in Weymouth. Call for takeout, 781-337-4363. 781-337-4363.
WUFC, welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. We're live here at Gillette Stadium. The Revs tie the Portland Timbers by a final count of 1-1. Portland now 7-7-10 on the year. New England now 8-12-3. The Revs sit in sixth place with 27 points right now, 1 point behind the New York Red Bulls for fifth place in the Eastern Conference. They got a game to make up here. Listen, man, and thanks again to Brad Feldman for coming on there. I'm Tom Quinlan once again. Thank you again, Brad Calandrella. We got Cam Bartley and Kev Coleman here in studio. But going back to what Brad Feldman said before about where this team stands fitness-wise and the mentality of the team, you know, I say logging minutes, and, yeah, it's a basis of opinion, all right? That's all it is here. But it doesn't feel like you have that same fight back and that same push and that same New England feel, that rough and tough that we saw at the beginning of the year. What did this team represent going into 2014? Grit. It represented a team that was pushed up against the wall. Hey, everybody in MLS counts this out. Nobody gives us a chance. You know why? We don't have the sexy designated player signings. Our fans don't always agree with our front office and don't agree with the way we're directing the franchise. But you know what? We fight back and we tell people to go kick rocks once we step on a field. And you know what? You're not even kicking pebbles anymore. You're dusting the wind.
Kicking sand.
Kicking sand. Going down to Cape Cod. The dirty parts, too, not even the clean parts. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. There's some dirty beaches in Cape Cod. Let's go to Pat and Woburn. He wants to talk about tonight's game. Pat, what's up, buddy?
Hi. So I was going to say that maybe there was a problem with player selection tonight, that some players like Shaolin Joseph didn't play when I didn't think Caldwell, for example, was playing very well, and that they took out their best player, Lee Wynn. But I guess that he might have been taken out because he was injured now. And I think now some of the blame has to be on the front office, because the Revolution only have 26 players on their team right now out of a maximum of 30. Mm. And I think that with the injuries they're having right now, they just don't really have the depth that they need to be a real playoff competitor in the league.
I agree with you that on the roster standpoint. Here's what the roster thing says to me. You got 26 guys on your roster. You also have Louis Jackson. You have the backup goalkeeper Jackson for New England. Larry Jackson, thank you. You have Larry Jackson in there. You have Louis Sofner on your roster. So that's two extra keepers that you have. So let's take away the two extra keepers for a second. You're at 24. And then on top of it, you're not even using Charlie Joseph. He hasn't stepped on the field at all this year. You have about 23 guys on your roster right now, seven open roster spots, and a ton of allocation money built up over the years from negotiations and moves. Why isn't that money being put towards a designated player right now? Why isn't that money being put towards a quality forward right now? Yes, Charlie Davis, as Brad Feldman said, is doing a hell of a job in campaigning to be that number one. But you need something up top, and you don't have that right now. And sure, I don't give the front office a lot of grief. I don't think they should get as much grief as people give them because of the situation and the environment that they work in. But at the same time, you've had windows here to make moves, and not doing so gives fans like yourselves a lot of ammunition here tonight when you don't finish the job.
And now we got Lee and Alston, who might be out too. Tierney's injured. Dorman's out. We're just thinning and thinning and thinning, and before you know it, we're going to be tissue paper.
You got anything else, Pat?
Well, I think this is part of it, that it's great that they're going after Jermaine Jones, and I think if they manage to make that signing, it would be a very good signing.
Sure.
But even though it looks like Chicago might be coming close to it now. But really, I think, I don't know if they understand this, but that can't be the only signing they make, because they'll still be having open roster spots and injuries, and one player can't fix a team that's only won one out of their last 12 games.
Pat, thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in, man. All right. I agree with him. You know, it's so demoralizing with these situations right now that you're presented with New England. And you have to – the moves that you want to make here, if you're the Revs, they have to represent the holes that need to be filled and not things that you just want to add to get people to come to seats either. Kev.
I just had like a question, you know, add to what he asked. Do you agree with what he said about having Charlie Joseph in there instead of Scott Caldwell?
No. I think Scott Caldwell did it.
I don't either, yeah.
I think it was a good question, Pat, but I think that the reason why they're not going to go to Charlie is because he's not quick enough. He's not the same guy anymore, in my opinion.
He is old.
You know what I mean? He's a great guy to learn from and be a sponge for if you're Scott Caldwell, but Charlie Joseph's not going out there and trucking people like he's a linebacker for the Patriots anymore.
I will add this, though. If Lee's injury does knock him out for the next game, I would not mind seeing two holding midfielders in Scott and Charlie, and then Kellen as an attacking option. Because Caldwell can get up and down the field pretty well. And if you sit Charlie in front of the back four, maybe we'll tighten up that defense a little bit.
You saw that box-to-box presence tonight a little bit with Scott Caldwell, I thought, when he had to replace the space for Andrew Farrell at times, where Farrell was giving up a ton of space down the sidelines. Steele Bunbury couldn't hold his defender tonight. Works really hard, but you did not have that consistency on the far side of the field. And then at the end of the day, you're at a tie, but I still give Scott Caldwell a lot more credit than people do. It's not fair. It's not fair, the criticism that this kid gets. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. All right, we got Shrek in the car right now. He wants to talk about tonight's game. What's up, Shrek?
What's up, man?
What's up?
Not much. I want to talk about the game.
What's your thoughts on the game?
Well, I'm leaving there right now, and I thought that game was crap, to be honest with you. I'm tired of it. We should have won that. We go up 1-0 early the first half, but thought we did well. Then all of a sudden, Lee Wynn goes off. I don't know if he was injured. I didn't see what was going on because I was there, you know. And the whole team falls apart. We don't try. We stop trying. Fagundes, he's not doing enough for me. I'm not happy about it. I think Caldwell and Shuttleworth, they're catching unfair slack. They don't deserve it. Caldwell's playing out of position, but he's young. He should be playing forward more. He's not a defensive back. I think Farrell's the only person, once the wing got off the field, the only one that deserves friggin'.
Well, let me say this about Scott Caldwell, all right? First off, Shrek, Scott Caldwell is a center defensive mid. He doesn't represent the height and the body that you want in a true number six.
The body of
Say that again?
Don't you think you should be playing more forward?
I don't. I'm sorry, Shrek. I don't. And thanks for the call, man. Here's why I don't think Scott should be playing forward more. You already have how much going up top? You have Lee, Kellen, Diego, Daigo. Teal, Daigo, Pat, Charlie. How much more do you need pushing up higher? I don't get that.
I think the reason why Scott needs to stay back there is because we don't have any center defensive midfielders behind Andy Dorman. And center attacking midfielders we have a surplus of.
Sure.
And we've got so much of them that we actually need to throw them out on the wing at points, as you've seen with Kellen Rowe. So, I mean, Scott Caldwell is doing as much as he can for that, for our club in that position. And as Brad touched upon, the Dorman loss is just really hurting us right now. And that's why you see us chasing Jermaine Jones, because we need more depth in that position.
Sean's in Woburn. He wants to talk about in-game adjustments tonight. Sean, thanks for calling into the post-game show.
Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to talk about three things about how they need to make adjustments. First is Bobby Shuttleworth. Every single goal kick, he just boots it up the field to half. And obviously, it's not really working. It only, 50% of the time, maybe less than that, it'll go to a Reds player. But maybe one of the times plays to the right side to Farrell, or some play it short so we don't concede ball every single goal kick. Also, on the corner kick, I say three straight times Kellen Rowe took a corner kick. Three straight times it went straight to Donovan Ricketts. So after the first one, you know, all right, he's tall. He's going to get there. I got to put it maybe between the six and the penalty box. And also, you can tell that Donovan Ricketts is a big, tall goalie, that when you're taking your shots, you got to try and put him bottom corner, because you may see if you put him up top, Davis is the one.
And what's your third point there, Sean? You have Bobby corner kicks, and what's your third point?
Shooting low, because Donovan Ricketts is a big goalie. You got to shoot low, because they shot mid, like his waist, three times, and he made diving saves every time. You got to put him low into the corner.
That's a very good point, because you look at Charlie Davies' goal, excellent shot to the far post, low, and Donovan couldn't get down. Very good point there, yeah. I couldn't agree more. With a tall goalie, you got to shoot low every single time, because the aerial high strikes, unless you're putting it in a top corner and putting some very different spin on the ball, the goalie's going to get there every time.
No, I agree with that too, but I also liked his first comment about how Shuttleworth just kind of boots it upfield and kind of gives it a chance. But there were a couple of times we were sitting upstairs, and he just boots that out of bounds. And, you know, everyone in the press box saying, oh, and they're, like, you know, moaning, groaning. You don't do that. It's a good point. Have Farrell come up and possess the ball. I think the Timbers just absolutely destroyed us possession-wise, and the Revs just couldn't get anything going when Shuttleworth tried to get goal kicks.
Well, it's a perfect point. Sean Donahue of New England Soccer Today always makes this point that Bobby Shuttleworth has one of the worst distribution percentages in MLS, and a lot of it comes from when he's trying to get balls out of the box, and he just, you know, sends those high punts upfield. And Sean, I think you make a great point right there. You have to control the possession more. Yes, it only finished 53-47 tonight in favor of Portland, and it's really the scoreline that you're bothered by more. But that midfield game that New England loses, a lot of it is because of the fact that Bobby doesn't put the possession game in the best chance to succeed as he's clearing the ball from the backfield, and you need more of a developing play. Think Portugal, for example. When Portugal came back here in June before they went off to the World Cup, and look at the way Portugal moves the ball upfield. They are methodical, they're slow, and they're clinical. And what I think is their thought process. So it's just more of a kick and go, and that's just not a good formula for me. Sean, you got anything else before I let you go?
No, that's it. Thank you for taking my call.
617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. That was great. Thank you so much, Sean. I think those are three great points. And I want to get to one more that he made, too, here. And that is, what the hell are you doing with Kellen Rowe at corner kicks? How many more weeks do I need to emphasize Kellen Rowe needs to be off the corner kick stick?
Lee needs to be taking him.
Lee or Diego. One of those two. Because Kellen's corner kicks, And I think Kellen's Kellen is a very good player. I think Kellen could be one of the top players in this league in one or two more years here. He's had a very tough year this year because he hasn't been able to get the consistent minutes, and I really do feel bad for him. But the thing about Kellen here is that his corner kicks tonight consistently went to Donovan Ricketts, but none of them get past the first defender. They're not challenging in the air, and it looks like there's more placement on him. He's looking for a specific guy than putting it in a challenging area.
They're very predictable, too.
Very predictable.
Very, very predictable. It's almost every in-swinging ball, you know it's going to go right onto the PK spot. And
right.
That's going to get picked up every time.
Right.
So I think you got to have Lee in there, someone else to give the goalie a different look. Even maybe, I don't see any really determined runs, too, in the box. Well, we look at this, I was reading the stat. The Revs lead the league in most corners in the MLS.
Ridiculous.
And the amount of goals that we get with these corners is way too low. Granted, all credit to AJ Soares, who gets his head on the odd one or two.
But that comes from a Chris Tierney delivery.
Exactly, and that comes from the delivery. So that's another reason how much we miss Chris right now. As Brad just said, he's probably got one of the best left foots in the league.
And people don't give him enough credit.
No, none at all. And granted, I just think that with all these corner kicks and looking at all these one-goal losses that could have been ties if we get on the end of
sure.
one of these corners,
sure.
It's all about the delivery. It comes from the delivery.
617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. All right, we got only a couple of highlights here tonight, and all calls are this evening courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet New England with Brad Feldman and Paul Mariner. Feldman, who was here earlier. And, you know, the first 30 minutes of the game were boring as all hell tonight, guys, weren't they? I mean, you didn't really have the most exciting of New England Revolution games. It was Portland controlling the tempo, New England playing the long ball. It was drawn out. Is this game over yet? That's what we were going through for about 27 minutes until Charlie Davies again making life very difficult for defenders.
Fagundes driving forward on the dribble. Ricketts back in. Charlie Davies onside, off the post and in. The flag stays down. Portland has no idea why that wasn't offside, but it wasn't. And Charlie has his second goal in two games.
Charlie Davies makes it 1-0 right there for the New England Revolution.
No stanky leg, though.
No stanky leg, just running around crazy. He ran so fast from the corner flag at where they scored the goal all the way down to the benches, and it was just high-fiving everybody. You get a high-five. You get a high-five. You get a high-five. You get a high-five.
Free. They're all free.
And that's what we had. And it was for about 38 minutes. It was New England that controlled, New England that was playing their style of soccer. A couple of times after the goal, you had Charlie Davies creating space too, where he could have scored two goals tonight. I think it was like a minute after he scores, Cam, that he actually had the ball at the top of the 18. And if it was for better positioning on his foot, he could have blew that right by Donovan Ricketts.
Yeah.
But again, this team goes into halftime, and again, I don't know what happens from the time this team steps off the field and goes into the locker room and has a sit-down with Jay Heaps, but for the second consecutive night, the second consecutive game for New England, they go into halftime with a lead, and they blow it. As for the 65th minute, after a tremendous amount of possession and build-up play from Portland, again, the Timbers find a way to knock down the Revs. I thought we had it. No?
Well, it was a brilliant run from Ridgewell.
It was.
He just,
regardless.
Yeah, he just ran right through the heart of our defense like no one was there. Well, no one was there. Nobody was there.
No.
And it was just awful.
Now we have it. Come on, Kev. Come on.
Here it is.
Sorry. Here it is.
Now Ridgewell steps into the attack again. Striding forward, the Englishman into the box, has it on his left, shoots, and makes it 1-1. What a goal from Liam Ridgewell. Does the stop, drop, and roll. And the Revs are just ripped apart by the center back for the Portland Timbers. And that's a poor goal to concede from a New England perspective. But it's a first MLS goal and a great one for Ridgewell.
See, that's what I don't get either, is that with a lot of people going into the All-Star game, everybody's like, Liam Ridgewell doesn't deserve to be an All-Star. That's a hometown pick right there. Liam Ridgewell proved to everybody tonight why he was an All-Star. A center back, that is, right there, coming up the field and scoring. I mean, that's got to be not just it's so deflating, but like just a reminder, a constant reminder how inconsistent this defense is. And again, it's another team that's not afraid to attack the middle with New England. I'm sorry, people. The center back that people are so happy to love and to glorify and talk about every week, I can't stand it anymore. They're not afraid teams of Jose Gonsalves. That's not the damn MLS Defender of the Year that you have back there anymore. And it makes things worse for other defenders in that back four. If you're going to give Jose credit for when he's good, make sure you point out when that back line sucks and he's the reason for it. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Dustin wants to talk about coaching. Dustin, what's up?
Follow up on what you said earlier about shuttle.
Dustin, you want to call us back? Just a bad phone connection. Sorry there, brother. Just call us back real quick, all right? 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. It's the 21st century here, Kev. You figured that these guys, everybody in America, would have working cell phones.
I mean, maybe he doesn't have an iPhone. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
My grandmother still has a flip
razor.
Phone.
A razor. You remember the razors? Those things were crazy.
The chocolate.
One thing I really want to question today, though, is why Jay still doesn't have faith that Charlie can still play a full 90, as you touched upon with Brad. And when Mullins came on the field, his touches weren't there. It's just like he hadn't played the game in two weeks.
It was terrible.
Yeah, teams have this kid scouted.
And that one ball from Daigo, that was brilliant. He should have. The first touch was just such a letdown.
The first touch was terrible. We all said it. You got to wonder, does Charlie bury that?
Yeah, yeah. That's the first thing we said. Charlie buries that. It's especially in his form that he is now. Yeah, he definitely buries that. One touch and in. That's all it takes.
All right, Dustin's back with us, hopefully with a better phone connection. Dustin, what's up?
Sorry, I'd like to follow up on what Sean said earlier.
Yeah.
So, like, an example, like, coaching, if they should realize the flaws of their players and help, like, develop their games if they realize players struggling in certain skills.
So you're looking to see the coaching staff take more of initiative to start upgrading some of these players' games. Is that the point that you're trying to get to here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, who's that guy right now that's getting hurt by this coaching staff, you feel like, then?
Well, I feel like they should be training Shuttleworth more, because if he has the worst distribution, then they should be, like, helping him develop his passing ability.
I agree with that. I think that I said it before. Statistically, Bobby Shuttleworth is one of the worst keepers in MLS when it comes to distribution. And you know what, Dustin? Your point validated here tonight. Great point. Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, thanks for the call, Dustin. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. I can't argue with that.
Tom, when you look at in the warm-ups today, Shuttlesworth didn't take that many shots at all. We saw him just working on his distribution, and still his punts are just – they're nowhere near where they should be. You got to target – the coach is the target man.
Yeah.
And he's punting it towards, like – the Timbers players. It's nearly hitting the physio for the Timbers.
Yeah, it's like 20 yards away from the coach.
Yeah, the guy couldn't distribute candy to trick-or-treaters if he meant to. I mean, jeez. He needs to figure it out. But the thing is, I'm always very hard on Bobby. I'll still give him credit. He made the saves that he needed to today. Liam Ridgewell shot. I don't see anything that he can do with that. That's a brilliant finish from a quality player.
He's in an incredible space. I mean, there's nobody around him. Beautiful move.
And he's just – I wouldn't blame Joe. That is Jogo and Farrell's side, but today Jogo still was pretty good too. it's just I still think that the problems in our defense lie in the midfield.
Yeah.
We don't I honestly think that we need to seriously consider putting two holding midfielders at this point. And we don't have them right now.
Well, you're missing the one that you want in Jermaine Jones.
And Andy Dorman.
And Andy Dorman.
If you have Dorman and Caldwell together as a partnership, I think those holes definitely close up, and there's our defense isn't bleeding as much as it is.
617-237-1234. Steve's in Woburn. Steve, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good to hear from you, Steve.
I was just hearing the point you were making about putting in two holding midfielders, and I think it's an important point. I've been a longtime critic of Heaps' 4-1-4-1, not necessarily because it's an inherently bad formation, but because with the players this club has, it simply doesn't work, and I think it's been demonstrated over this last stretch of a dozen games that it doesn't work. I focus more on up top. We've had trouble scoring goals because we don't have a true hold-up target forward who can also put the ball in the back of the net. And so I have thought we need to switch to more of maybe a 4-1-3-2. But I think the point on the other end is good as well, that if we don't have 5 years ago Shalvey Joseph-type holding midfielder, we may have to put two men in back of the front line as well. So, but all this amounts to, I think, an indictment of Jay Heaps as the head coach of this club. He has shown, I think, rigidity when flexibility is needed. He insists on playing this dream formation that he has, which might be a great formation with some clubs and some players, but with this team simply isn't. And I think we've come to the point where we need to look at a change in the head coaching situation at this club.
That's about as real as you can get right there. I don't think anybody's going to argue with your points here tonight. I mean, the only thing I'll stop you on is I don't think you'll have the front office at cut Jay. And here's why, Steve. The faith that they have in Jay Heaps, it would make this front office look so bad if they go out there, bring in a guy like Jay Heaps, who has virtually no coaching experience, gets to the playoffs with virtually nothing in his second year, 14 wins. That's great, but I think it just would make this front office look bad that they brought in a guy with no coaching experience, and then all of a sudden you fire him 3-4 years later because now you realize he doesn't have what it takes to get you through the dog days of summer. And I think they're going to be very careful in how they handle Jay this offseason if things continue to go the way they are right now. But I think you're about a year or two away from Jay Heaps really being on the hot seat with this front office.
I think we're
back. Well, I hope it doesn't take a year or two. And I agree with your point that the front office is likely to be cautious because it makes them look bad. But I think losing 11 out of 12 games is also making them look pretty bad. And right now, we have a team that is, I wouldn't say they're in a free fall, but they're not far away from being in a free fall. I have seen and talked to a couple of the players, and I kind of feel like they're losing confidence in themselves. And that's a deadly thing to happen to a professional sports team in any sport. I know he's trying hard, and I like the guy personally, but I don't know that Jay Heaps has what it takes to pull them out of this tailspin. And if they stay in it, that's certainly going to make the front office look bad as well.
Hey, it's always great to hear from you, Steve. Get home safe tonight. Thanks for coming out to the game, and we'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Take care. 617-237-1234. You can't argue with these points. It's just like you try to find like the back door into like, okay, this is, I understand where you're going, but this is why, and this is, you know, where you could see improvement. You're not even seeing close to anything that resembles improvement right now. Nothing that can encourage you. There's nothing that encourages me with this New England team. I'm sorry. And I agree that some of the players are losing confidence and faith. That's why I said it looks like guys are out there right now just to log minutes. I mean, and again, Brad's not going to – I'm not asking Brad Feldman to come out into the show and say, yes, that's what these guys are doing. They're logging minutes. He's not going to tell me that, you know, these guys are not giving 100%. They are giving 100%. But I just – it's not – this is not, you know, the New England team that I said earlier in this segment we saw with the fire. All right, we're going to take a break here. We'll take a couple more of your calls. I see the call screen lighting up. We'll go around the league next and check out what happened in the Premier League today. Go nowhere. 617-237-1234. 617-237-1234. Revs tie the Timbers tonight at Gillette 1-1.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-593-5634. 1-800-593-5634. That's 1-800-593-5634. 1-800-593-5634.
Get out to the forest. And discover the wonders of nature with your family, just like Blue, Jewel, and the whole Rio flock.
Let the kids connect to their roots. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Let's rock this jungle. Yeah!
Fresh air.
What a glorious morning.
Clean water.
Woo-hoo! This is great!
And endless surprises.
Yo, this is untapped territory.
How amazing.
Visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Are the balances on your credit cards keeping you up all night? Are you tired of collection agencies calling? Is it getting harder to pay all your medical bills? Do you feel like you're swimming upstream and not getting anywhere? You are not alone. Family Financial can help you. We are a nonprofit organization that for over 18 years has helped thousands of individuals regain control of their debt. Family Financial can help you pay your debt faster with a low and easy monthly payment. Negotiate lower interest rates and minimum payments and stop those annoying collection calls. Let one of our certified credit counselors help you. Just gather all your statements. Give us a call at 800-709-4398, 800-709-4398, and let us do the rest. Allow Family Financial to ease your debt problem and help you improve your credit. Call now, 800-709-4398, 800-709-4398, 800-709-4398.
Tia's, Boston's waterfront outdoor cafe and bar, is now open. Located on 200 Atlantic Ave, adjacent to the Marriott Long Wharf, serving up daily lunch and dinner specials, including the famous Tia's Lobster. Come hang out on the patio, enjoy great beer and wine selections, martinis, and summer favorites, including a frozen creamsicle crush, along with a Boston's energy drink. Do what all professionals do say, meet me at Tia's. Call 857-488-5387. It's Tia's on the waterfront.
WUFC. Welcome back to the New England Revolution post-match report. It is a disappointing night here at Gillette Stadium as the Revs tie this one by a final tick of 1-1. Now quickly, New England 8-12-3 on the year with 27 points. Portland 7-7-10 on the year with 31 points with no time to waste. Gentlemen, let's go around MLS tonight and see what happened around the league as we had some games in all over the place and also had some stuff happening in the Barclays Premier League, which we'll get to as well. Cam Barley, start us off with what happened in MLS.
All right, so Houston took on Philadelphia. Last night. Will Bruin and Evan Gaddis with their own goal. Gaddis with their own goal. The next game was Real Salt Lake and Seattle Sounders. João Plata and Ozzy Alonso with an own goal, with Chad Barrett getting on the score sheet. Ex-Rev still scoring. Jeez, couldn't do it for us. Montreal and Chicago, 1-0. Montreal, Marco Duval on the score sheet. Columbus Crew and LA Galaxy faced off tonight as well. Columbus destroying the Galaxy 4-1. Merrim, Finley, Spies, and Gonzalez on the score sheet for the Crew. And Giassi Zarde is still hot for the LA Galaxy.
My man, Giassi Zarde is probably one of the best players in MLS this year. Seriously, the kid's the future. Kid is the future.
Stud.
What else you got?
Revs, Portland, 1-1, as we said. Davies and Ridgewell on the score sheet. Sporting Kansas City and Toronto. That ended 4-1. Dom Dwyer with two goals from the PK spot. Saad and Sapong also adding on the score sheet. Gilberto for Toronto. Tonight, 10:30, Chivas Vancouver. They're kicking off right now. Same with San Jose and FC Dallas. Check them out. Sunday, DC United and Columbus. Colorado Rapids, excuse me, at 8 p.m. And that'll be a good game. Now let's take it to the Premier League. Kevin? Yeah.
Kev, what do you got Premier League stuff?
Across the pond, lads.
Hello. How are you?
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to get this one out of the way. My Manchester United lost today to Swansea 2-1. Everton
United.
And Leicester tied 2-2. Hull City and Queen's Park Rangers.
Leicester.
John Leicester.
Or Sadakis Leicester.
Hull City defeated Queen's Park Rangers 1-0.
Welcome back to QPR, back into the Premiership.
Welcome back, yeah.
Back right down, there you go.
Aston Villa takes down Stoke City 1-0. U.S. goalie Brad Guzan had the shutout, the clean sheet. Got to give him props.
Future U.S. men's national team starting keeper, probably.
Oh, we can only hope. West Brom and Sunderland finish in a tie 2-2. Tottenham Hotspurs take down the West Ham 1-0. And finally today, Cam's favorite.
Come on, you Reds!
Arsenal, the Gunners, defeated Crystal Palace 2-1. A last-minute goal by Aaron Ramsey. And of course, we had to leave this last one for the host, the one and only Tom Quinlan. His Manchester City defending champs will be playing tomorrow against Newcastle at 11 a.m. That's what's going on across the pond.
And love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Monday also Burnley, Chelsea. Burnley back up in the Premier League.
Let's see if Liverpool can repeat too. Do some work tomorrow.
Yeah. My upset is Burnley. I think they're going to beat Chelsea.
Nick Ironside, who worked in this city for years.
Diehard.
Working for the Boston Globe. Diehard.
Magpie.
Thank you very much. Over at Newcastle. Ray Hudson. Some great footballers. In the game ever came out of Newcastle.
Alan Shearer, the leading goal scorer for the English Premier League. I just watched a documentary on him, and if you want to sum up a clinical finisher, it's Alan Shearer. All the man did was score goals. He scored the scrap goals. He scored the wonder goals. He scored goals with his head. He scored goals with his back, his butt, his anything. And that's all he did was score goals. There was this thing on the documentary when his wingers didn't swing into a ball into the box. He would scream at them. Why is the ball not coming in? He wanted the ball in 5 yards around him at any time. And that's just what made him a great.
And it's unfortunate now in the new 21st century, Newcastle not as great.
No. They can't hang on to their players either.
Thanks to our callers again tonight. Everybody that called in this evening was great.
Woburn clan, they're
Woburn
showing
just
up.
Shows up. Yeah. Woburn
just shows up.
Exactly. Woburn does not like. There's not a post game show that we've done in the last, I'd say, four shows that we've done live from here where Woburn hasn't been majority of the show. So I have no idea who's listening out there in Woburn, but you people rock, and we thank you for it. I know Brad, our producer back in Quincy, is always talking to you guys, and we appreciate it here on the post game show that you guys are so loyal and faithful, and we just try to be as loyal and faithful to you guys as well because. You know, I've said it before. This is a great fan base. It's a frustrating as all hell fan base because I want to go bonkers when I deal with some of you people sometimes. But
we love you.
We love you, and we love New England, and we just want to see championships come to this area. Right? Right.
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 There we go. We're back potting this week. Brian Speaks, at Brian_Speaks, will be in studio. The great legendary Brian_Speaks will talk Everton. I also have a huge surprise for my podcast audience this Thursday. He's a national treasure. We'll talk a lot of MLS with this guy.
I also want to say I'll be gone for a little bit.
Yes.
I got to go run for like a week straight and die and do 3 days, so...
Cam Barley will not be with us next week when the Revs take on Chivas USA and we do the postgame show live from here from Gillette.
I may be absent for a bit, too.
Shout out to the Curry College men's soccer team as they embark
on
another journey. Hey, Pete Mendel, assistant coach for the Rail Boston Rams. That's my guy right there. Him, Mike Madden, a real good group of guys that are doing the right thing with the Rail Boston Rams. And
they had a great season this year.
They did. They did.
Second season and they made playoffs, right?
No, they did not make playoffs.
Oh, they were close.
They were close. Very close. For the majority of the year. And it's just they couldn't pull it together at the right time. All right. So for one more time here this evening, the Revs and the Timbers tied by a final count this evening of 1-1. Charlie Davies gets his second goal in as many as two games. Back-to-back games. Way to go, Charlie Davies. Liam Ridgewell gets the equalizer, and that's where we finish. We're back here at Gillette Stadium next Saturday night when the Revs take on Chivas USA. That's a 7:30 kickoff. Post-game show airs 9:45 on 1510 WUFC. For Kevin Coleman, for Brad Calandrella, Cam Bartley, thanks again to Brad Feldman for coming on today. Calls courtesy of Comcast SportsNet. I'm Tom Quinlan saying good night from Gillette Stadium. We'll see you next time.